prosecutors, Department of Homeland Security agents, and curious passersby often ask me, just what is this truth jihad thing anyway? Well, everybody knows what truth is, but jihad is a misunderstood term. Jihad means effort or struggle. The greater jihad is the struggle to be a better person, while the lesser jihad is the struggle to defend the community. Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, did say that the best jihad is a word of truth flung in the face of a tyrant. And that's what we do here at Truth Jihad Radio. Every Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 to 7 Pacific, right here on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And before we get started, I just want to remind people that this show is listener-supported, and we need your support. So I don't care if it's $5 or $50,000. There's different ways to move the money over to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Go take a look at it, because whether most of the people realize it or not, we are at war, and the enemy is inside the gates, and most people don't seem to realize that, which is really, really unfortunate. excuse me. The students I talked to are wide awake now, and they understand what's going on. And some of the students I talk to tell me that they're trying to educate their parents so their parents understand what the heck's going on in North America. And we have to, here in Ontario, we're having the provincial election, and I really don't want to run in it, but I'm going to have to, because we have to wake the people so that the people understand that the parties are all pushing the globalist agendas. And most people don't understand that. Most people are just going there looking for benefits. And this is what has corrupted the minds of the people, this benefit thing. And, the NDP is going to give us this benefit, or the Liberals are going to give us that benefit, or the Conservatives are going to give us this benefit. It's all part and parcel of the game, moving the agendas forward, the globalist agendas. But most people don't understand that. And so I'm hoping that those who see a no will run in their districts in order to help wake the people up. Because if we just sit on our butts and remain quiet, we're going down. We have a duty to wake our people so that we can take control of our nations again. We don't want these psychopathic, satanic, Luciferian, Marxist, communist, socialist a-holes running our lives and our nation. We can't allow that. But it's been going on for a very, very long time, because the people have been deceived. And it's not difficult to turn it around. And we have a duty, just like our forefathers who came here to build us a new house. They knew their duty once the deceivers were outed. Why they came here to build us a new house, out from under the boot of tyranny. And they understood that they had a duty to those who come after them, just like we have a duty to those who come after us. And if we just lay down and remain silent and don't educate our people, then we become the guilty party. Simple as that. Now, I've never been into protesting. Protesters always remind me of little children, but what the school system did was keep you in a childlike mindset. That was the whole purpose of the public school system. So that when you become an adult, you're still in childlike mindset. And any idiot can come up to you with a piece of paper and say, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to do this. And you just bow down to it. Which is not what our forefathers did. But then they were strong. Of the spine, the mind, and the spirit. And our people have been made weak in all three. And don't seem to have the capacity to understand what's going on. But those who see and know have a duty to talk to the people so that the people understand what is going on and what's been going on for a very, very long time. And so I guess I'm going to have to run. I mean, it's so ridiculous. These elections are so freaking ridiculous. It's off the charts. Number one, you, the man or woman, you know, people say, well, I'm going to go vote. Well, you can't vote. Okay, you live in a fictional world that they created. And the only one that can vote is a legal fictional person, of which you are not. And you vote as the proxy for the legal fictional person, because a legal fictional person can't vote. Just a piece of paper. Your slave owner. And it's, you know, they put us in a fictional world that they created and that they control. And it's way past time we get back to reality. We the people built everything in our nations, yet we have absolute zero control over anything. And you were all deceived through the registration. Your child is registered. You're registered, making you an asset slave of the state. or the corporation, which is what it is, created by the lawyers, liars, deceivers. And we have to break this spell that was put upon us and get back to reality. No level of government is working for the people and never has. Now, in a real government, when they go to put something through the legislature, they are required to have the consent of the people. But that's not how it operates. They shove whatever they want through without your consent, making your so-called government an oligarchy. So you don't have a government, okay? You got a bunch of slave owners. But they conned our mothers into signing at the crossroads. If you sign the registration form, you'll get a check every month till your child's 18. Your child will get free education. And if your child gets sick, he can go to the hospital. But they didn't disclose to our mothers what the hell they were actually up to. Because anything you register to the state, you have, you know, people think they own their house, they think they own their vehicle, they think they own their business. No. Think they own their child. No. The state owns all of this stuff. Because once it's registered, you only have the right of enjoyment of what was registered to the state. The state, once it's registered, and has the right to make any rule or regulation they want, and take however much money they want. Because everything that is registered is an asset of the state. Now, I said this before, I got a call from Revenue Canada, and I was talking to the lady, and I explained to her why the price of houses here went up so high, because we have a small population, we have the second largest country on the planet, and we have less population than California. In California, you could drop into Canada, probably never trip over the damn thing. But we are in the takedown again, just like the bankruptcy back in the whatever year that was, to move our money to the globalists. And we borrow from the globalists. But the fact is that The lady from Revenue Canada agreed 100% that the reason the price of the housing went up so high was they're borrowing. We're $1 trillion in the hole now, and we only got 38 million people, and we're $1 trillion in the hole, and they just keep borrowing. And she agreed that the reason the price of houses went up so high, and I used to build houses, I could build you a house for, including the lot, for $140,000 now. But today, 1,400 square foot house is going for about $1 million. Because the house is an asset of the state, which uses that asset to borrow money against you. And we have to bring this to reality and to the people so that they understand what's going on. If we just sit back and remain silent, of which the globalists or whatever you want to call them, the Marxists, the socialists, they control everything, not us. And we have a duty to take control. But what they said, and they've said it many, many times, that silence is consent. So if the people remain silent, the globalists, the evil ones, look at it as consent because you didn't speak up. And we can't allow that to continue. I got to tell you, I'm so proud of the students. I am just so, so proud of the students. And I talk to students from 12 to 17, 18. And they all get it. And they all understand if you don't question, you don't know anything. And I have the students all questioning their teachers now. And some of the students, when they question their teacher, they're sent to the mental health clinic and put on drugs, which is absolutely ridiculous. But the students do get it, finally. I never understood when I was a child in school why the students weren't questioning the teachers. I always questioned the teachers, because they didn't seem to know much. And the teachers will just teach whatever is put in front of them to teach without question. And here in Ontario, the Ontario Teachers Federation Pension Fund is a partner of the World Economic Forum. And every municipality in Ontario, Ontario Municipal Employee Retirement System, which includes the police, is also a partner of the World Economic Forum, as is Bill Gates, Pfizer, Soros, and hundreds of other large companies in that, who want to control the world. And as Rockefeller stated, something has to take the place of government, said this in 99, and business seems the obvious entity to do it. This doesn't have anything to do with COVID, doesn't have anything to do with climate. Okay, those are just crises they create to fear the people into submitting to their nonsense. And we have got to wake our people up. And what I'm going to tell the people when I run in the provincial election, I'm not going to offer them benefits. I'm just going to explain to them, because most of the people don't know. The UNPA, the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, if you go to the supporters and you go to Canada, there are almost 850 MPs, senators, professors of universities shoving this crap into the students' heads. And Tinkerbell Trudeau, our prime minister, is a partner or a member of the World Economic or of the UNPA, United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, as are many other head MPs in that from the country. But the most interesting part is that the World Federalist Association is right on the front page of Canada on the UNPA. And this tells you the whole story. Okay, they were working on this World Federalist Association. And you can go look up World Federalists Canada, and there's a whole other story there with all these people who are involved in it. But the real kicker is, because as I've told people before, it doesn't matter if you call it Marxism, Communism, Socialism, Luciferianism, or Satanism. It's all the same damn thing. They're all the deceivers, deceiving the people. And Walter Cronkite, who was the man you can trust in news, you on CBS, and he, after he retired, was given the World Federalist Award. And Walter Cronkite, in his speech of acceptance, said that he was proud to sit at the side of Satan. And that's what these people are, the deceivers. And that includes your political. That includes your legal club. That includes the scientists. And science is attached to pretty much everything. And during the Enlightenment, they said that they were going to replace the priests, who you couldn't question or challenge, with the scientists. And what's attached to the politicians? Political science. And we have to break this spell that was put upon us. We own the nation, not the politicians. We built everything in the nation, not the politicians. But we have no control over our resources. We have no control over our towns, our cities. And so I guess I'm going to have to try to out this during the provincial election and see if any of these people have a brain. The students, some of the students came up to me during the last election, and had that one grade 9 girl after it was over. And she said, none of those people in the audience have a clue. Which is true. And I said, but you do? It's a grade 9 student. And she was very well versed in knowledge and said that they were trying to educate the rest of their students so that they understood what was going on in the public school system. The deceivers. But, you know, here in Canada, we have the UNPA. We have the teachers and our municipalities attached to the World Economic Forum. And they're also pushing the UN agendas. And we also have the Club of Madrid, which was created by Tim Campbell, a conservative MP, or prime minister, rather. And Jean Chrétien is part of the Club of Madrid, who is a liberal, which goes all the way back to when Morris Strong, the front man for Climate, the liar, the deceiver, was going to run in Pierre Elliott Trudeau's government, and Rockefeller just asked Strong, what the hell are you doing? Well, I thought if I was elected, I could have more influence. And Rockefeller just told him, he said, we control both sides. You got a lot more influence from the outside than you do from the inside, because the inside people are just puppets, and we just pull their strings. Which is true. And where did the two-party system come from? The French Revolution. And it was birthed out of there on purpose to divide and conquer the people. Our people used to work together in their communities. Now, oh, you're on the right. Oh, you're on the left. And you have a problem. But they've been working at this for a very, 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 very long time, deceiving the people, offering them benefits. And most of the people just follow along like sheep, which is really, really unfortunate. You know, if you look at America and Canada, we're probably the two richest nations on the planet. But our manufacturing was taken from us and sent to China. I went down to work in Florida, and they had all these DeWalt tools there. And I said, oh, this is the famous DeWalt tools. And they said, well, not any longer. I said, what are you talking about? We don't manufacture it anymore. We manufacture it in China. Which is all about business. Got nothing to do with climate. Got nothing to do with COVID. It's all about business. And they've stolen everything from us. We used to make everything we needed in North America. And now we basically make nothing. And they want control of all of our resources. So you've got the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, which has a ton of MPs and prime ministers and senators. And you've got the Club of Madrid, which is a group of ex-prime ministers and presidents who are pushing the agendas forward. Most people don't have a clue. And the head of the UN is in the club because he was a president of Portugal. And he was also the president of Socialist International. And Gro Harlem Brundtland, who was the head of the WHO, was also the vice president of Socialist International. And if you go through these people, you'll just throw up, because all of these people have sold their souls. They're all moving the globalist agendas forward. Most people think that when the PM is voted out or retires or whatever, that they don't have anything to do with anything. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Every president, politician, or prime minister who's still alive is pushing the agendas forward. Simple as that. Now, Brian Mulroney, who was conservative prime minister, is now attached to the Century Initiative here in Canada that wants to raise the population of Canada to 100 million people. And Iverson, who was the mayor of Edmonton, is also involved in it, but there's a ton of people involved in it. But most of these people don't have a clue about this stuff. They don't hear it on the TV. They don't read it in the paper. So they don't know. So I would like people in Ontario, because we're having the provincial election, if you know and see, I would very much appreciate you running in the election. It's not about winning the election. It's about waking the people to the deceivers who are just offering people benefits. Now, Jean Charest, who was a conservative and a liberal, and now he's a conservative, is talking about privatizing our healthcare system, our electricity and gas systems have all been privatized without the consent of the people. And Jean Chrétien, or Jean Charest, has been a member of the Trilateral Commission for quite some time. The Rockefeller created Trilateral Commission. And Barbara Frum, who was a Jew who used to speak on the news, was a newscaster. Her daughter ended up in the Senate, but she too was a member of the Trilateral Commission created by the Rockefellers. And there are a ton of people from Canada, politicians and that, and senators, and news people who are all part and parcel of the Trilateral Commission, all pushing the agendas, not working for the people. And most people don't have a clue about any of this stuff because it's not taught to them in school. It's not taught to them on the television. And those who know and see have a duty to run in the provincial election. We have to wake the people up. Okay, we're having a municipal election in October of this year, and we have to wake the people up. And if you know and see, or even have a clue, you really need to run in the provincial election to try to wake the people up. Because we have to take control of our communities in October. Because every single community is pushing the globalist agendas into the communities without the knowledge or consent of the people. And in 1994, almost all of the municipalities were given, and it came from the Federation of Canadian Municipalities. The logo's on it. And it came out 2 years after Rio. And Maurice Strong is in it. And it's called the Municipal Primer on how to implement the globalist agendas into the communities without the knowledge or consent of the people. You don't have a government at any level, okay? None of them are working for the people. None of them. I'm absolutely surprised that Biden is still in still the president of the United States, because pretty much every time I see Biden, he's petting or playing with a young girl, which is really disgusting, but that's what these people do. They're very sick people. And they don't give a damn about you. Okay? Once they sold their souls, they've gone to the other side, and they just do as they're told, just like Rockefeller said. And so we also have here in Canada, I've said this before, we have 13 or 14 foreign trade zones. Excuse me. They're not part of Canada. And they're going to bring in, it looks like they're going to bring in the Chinese instead of shipping our resources over to China and then shipping them back. It would be easier just to plant the cheap labor here. As Morris Strong said, nobody can compete with us. We got the cheapest labor on the planet. And we're not supposed to use coal. And Australia signed a deal about 15 years ago with China, 20-year, $60 billion deal to move the coal over to China. And we're moving our coal over to China. And now they have cheap resources and cheap labor. And they're always telling you we can't use our fossil fuels, our oil, our gas, our coal. Yet there is over 1,100 coal plants in China. So it's got nothing to do with climate. It's got everything to do with business. It's all it's about business. And we have got to take control of our communities. Nobody lives at the federal level. Nobody lives at the provincial level. Everyone lives in a community. And, you know, when you go to vote, which you can't do, but you vote as the proxy for the legal fictional person they created, the parties, you don't pick the candidates. Okay. The party picks the candidates. And the parties are all working for the other side. We, the only place we have authority over is our communities. And once we have control of our communities, we have control of our nation. Simple as that. And like I've said tons of times, just like our forefathers came here to build us a new house in the future, we have the same duty to the children and the grandchildren. And you know, they killed off most of the strong in World War I and World War II, which they created to kill off the strong, leave the weak behind, so they're easily manipulated. But our forefathers' blood is still running through our veins, and all we have to do is reactivate it. Once activated, we, not the politicians, are the power. And we have control of our nation and our resources. It's not difficult to fix. But if you're looking for a hero, ain't gonna happen. Okay, none of these so-called heroes that people say, oh, look at this. Oh, that, hear what this guy's saying. Oh, man, we got to vote for him. They've all sold their souls. They're all deceivers. And if you just continue on with this, voting right and left, you ain't going to have a nation. And they want the AI put in place everywhere so that every move you make is tracked. Is that what you want? We're supposed to be free people. The only rule that matters is cause no harm. If you don't harm anybody, enjoy your life. Now, here's the difference between law and legal. They're opposites. And I have a friend who, Michael Schmidt, who decided he was going to grow or make real milk and butter and cheese and whatnot, because he knew that the food had been filled with toxins, which comes from another Jew, Kissinger, who said, control the food, control the people. And our food has basically been poisoned from Monsanto and all the rest of these people, and they're shoving needles into the birds and the pigs and the cows and filling them full of toxins, which makes people sick, which keeps moving the pharmaceutical companies forward. But Michael, made contracts with the people who wanted real food. This has been going on for 30 plus years. And, shortly after I met Michael, he had to go to court in Newmarket. And this is the difference between law and legal. And I've had this done in court before too, where I moved the judge over to the law side instead of the legal side. And Michael, I think, had 13 charges or something against him, and they'd raided his farm numerous times. And all he was doing was making real food. And nobody in over 30 years have ever gotten ill from Michael's food. But then he doesn't spray his fields. He doesn't needle his cattle. He doesn't feed them the poisons. It's real food. And the people wanted the real food. And in Newmarket, the judge threw the charges out. And the judge said that any man or woman can make an agreement with another man or woman without the intrusion of the government. That's law. And shortly after, and I told Michael, we had a meeting across the street from the courthouse with a ton of people. And I told Michael, I says, you know, this judge did the right thing. But I said, they're coming after you again. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because they took control of milk. And my mother told me that my uncle, who's not with us anymore, but lived to be 98, was very, very, very upset when the government took control of the milk, because they had no right to do so. But they keep throwing toxins and poisons into your food to make you ill. But I told Michael, I said, the judge did the right thing when he said that any man or woman has the right to make an agreement with another man or woman without the interference of the government, which is true. But I told Michael, I says, they're going to be coming at you hard again, the so-called government and the legal club. And it was just shortly thereafter that they came after him again and raiding his farms and throwing him in jail and dragging him through courts. But the point being is that in 30-plus years, no one was ever made sick from Michael's food. But they want to control the food to make you sick, to make you dependent. We used to be free back in the day. We grew our food to people, worked with each other to build the communities. If you needed a barn, the community would come together and put a barn up. If your house burned down, the community would come together and put the house back up. It was all about community, but there wasn't a two-party system. There was a system of the people looking after the people in their communities. And that's all been taken away. And our communities have been split. The other thing they did was they split the generations. They changed things out each generation so the generations aren't connected to each other. All deceiving, all the time. And why do we put up with that? Because our people have been made weak. And we have to strengthen our people. And we don't need violence. They want violence, which just divides the people again. It's all about dividing the people. So we don't need violence. We have the power. We are the power. But we have to come forward and put our foot down and say, we're not putting up with this anymore. We're taking over our nation and our communities and our resources. And we're getting back to manufacturing what we used to manufacture for the benefit of our people. So it's not difficult to do, but it has to get done. Because if we don't do it, you know, just as the UN and the WEF signed that agreement in June of 2019, just before COVID came out, stating very specifically that they were going to use climate and COVID as a trigger to reset the world. A digital technocratic lockdown of where they control every aspect of your life and all resources on the planet. You want that? Why would we allow these small groups of psychopaths to control our nations and our lives. Doesn't make any sense. There's a hell of a lot more of us than there are of them. And we are the power. And I've said this before several times when I went over to show support for Michael Smith, and there was the fairly high up attorney general guy there, and we talked about the history of Canada, and he agreed. Because when our forefathers came here, and the legal club set up here in 1791, long time before 1867, and the chartered companies, the Hudson's Bay Company, the East India Company, the Plymouth Company, the Virginia Company, all had their own courts and jails, and as more of our forefathers came here, they start running into the guys from the Hudson's Bay Company who were telling them what they could and couldn't do. But our forefathers just told them to shove off. We don't work for you, so you don't have any authority over us. And that's when they got back to England and said, we understand you started this parliament legislature thing. How's that working? Great, they don't get it. Well, you best send that over here. Welcome to 1867. And if you look up devil in etymology, which is the origins of the words, and you go to the root, you will find parliament. Because they're all deceivers. And if you look up demon, you will find democracy, which is really demonocracy. Controlled by the deceivers. And why do we want the deceivers to control our lives? That doesn't make one iota of sense. And so we're going to go to break here shortly, and I just got a message from Chris. So we'll bring him in after the top of the hour. But, you know, we all have a duty. Do I want to run in the provincial election again? No. Am I going to? Yes. Because I have a duty to try to wake up the people. Now, back in 2007, when I ran to see if anybody was waking up yet, which the answer was nobody, the handler for the conservative group told me I had a great future in politics. And I told him I didn't have the capacity to shake someone's hand and smile at him while I'm lying to him. And he simply said to me, well, if you ever change your mind, you got a great future in politics. In other words, if I'm willing to deceive and lie to you, I have a great future in politics. And that's what the whole political system is about, the liars and the deceivers. And we have to lift that spell off of us and get back to being men and women who have a duty to the youth, to educate the youth. And one of the good things is that once we get control of our communities, then we have control of the school system. And then we can teach the children the truth. Not the lies coming from the deceivers. So we have a very simple duty. It's not difficult. And, you know, in 2007, I didn't find anybody awake. And in 2018, I was amazed by the students, absolutely amazed by the students. They get it. They understand it now. And they understand the threat to their lives and their futures, because they don't see a future if we don't turn this around. And they won't have a future if we don't turn this around, because everybody's going to be tracked. Just like they're doing in China. And just like they did in 1984. The only place he could get away from being tracked in his apartment was to go and stand in the closet. Now, my town here is putting AI on the beach, artificial intelligence, saying that that is better than having the lifeguards. Well, how is artificial intelligence going to go save somebody that's drowning out in the lake? We need the lifeguards. But it's all about tracking. Same as your cell phone. Everything's tracked. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. They want to control all of the digital money, which means you have no control. And why would we allow these nut bars to control our lives? Makes absolutely no sense. And I hear some music, so I'm going to go have a smoke, and then we'll be back, and I'll bring Chris in, hopefully. And we'll carry on from there. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Walk the Boat with Bon Stevens, only at freedomslip.com.
Okay, welcome back, and I just want to remind people that Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com is listener supported, and we need your support because the World Federalist Association has something like $7 trillion, of which they're using to privatize our public systems so they can make money off it and control it, which really truly sucks. And I'm going to bring Chris in if he's here. There he is. We'll bring him in. And I want to thank he got a municipal counselor, and I've been sick for the last couple of weeks, and I'm going to get a hold of him and see if we can get him on the show next week. And talk about what's going on at the municipal level. We got you, Chris. Yo-ho.
You have me now?
Yep, there you are.
Wow. My Skype.
it's a special day.
Yes. on a Sunday, prayer day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about Michael Smith, and it's funny, you know, because there's that discussion between Beauchamp, I believe I pronounced that correctly, and the plagiarist, and well, just not a all around nice guy, Pasteur. And Michael kind of agreed that, in my opinion, he agreed that Pasteur was sterilizing real food.
Yeah.
And but nobody, you don't see this in the mainstream media. You don't, nobody calls them out on this.
No.
But Pasteur is where we go. That's why we pasteurize everything. We radiate it. We heat it to the point where you got no nutrition left.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's what Michael was trying. And you didn't tell your listeners that Michael was just trying to give you healthy food.
Yeah.
And what you're getting now in your grocery stores is not healthy. I mean, never mind the poisons even. I mean, they kill it before they put the poisons in it.
Yeah, they kill the nutrition, and then they poison your food.
Yeah. They take all the good stuff out, and then they throw some poisons in, and...
I was so disgusted. I was at Michael's place a couple of times when they raided the farm, and it was absolutely disgusting. You know?
He was mainstream media for a while, if you remember.
Yeah.
Back in the day, he was mainstream media. Because he'd pull up in a bus and sell real butter, real milk.
Yep.
And he had lineups.
Yeah.
And
the
then
people
he
wanted
got
real food.
But that was national news because he was an evil person. But not one person has died from his product.
No, nobody's ever got
like
sick.
Smoking a joint, you know.
Well, they wanted healthy food because they knew the food was
poisoned. Yes,
and they wanted healthy food, and like I said, I was so happy when that judge, the first time we were at court, when that judge threw all the charges out and told Michael that any man or woman has the right to make an agreement with another man or woman without the interference of the government.
Yes.
And that was law. He simply went to law, not legal. And I told Michael at the meeting we had right after the court that the government's coming at you again. And I found a letter that said that they had to go get Michael, right? Because they were concerned that if Michael continues to produce real food for real people, that other farmers may do the same thing.
Oh, boy, you don't want that.
No, we want to control the food, so we got to go get Michael. And they went after him forever. And, you know, throwing him in jail. And it was just ridiculous. But it's the same thing when I told my mom about Michael. And she told me about her brother-in-law, who was so angry because he was producing milk and cheese and butter. Way back in the day, that he was so angry when the government took over control of the milk. He couldn't believe they did that. But this is just like Kissinger said, control the food, control the people.
Well, it's pretty much all controlled now. Because you know, we're not hunter-gatherers anymore. We are, but our hunting and gathering is going to the local grocery store.
Mm-hmm. They've killed the nutrition in the food,
yeah,
which you're absolutely correct on, and filled it full of toxins. And, and this is what really irritates me, because people say, well, I'm going to go see the doctor. Well, what are you going to see the doctor for? I mean, the doctors and the nurses have to know that our food is full of toxins, making people sick. But they're not out there screaming at the top of their lungs to wake the people up. It's really pathetic.
Well, yeah, I just got called a bigot. Now, I'll go from your book, because I actually have one of the originals.
Hmm.
Bigot. One blandly and obstinately devoted to a particular creed or party of uncertain origin. Well, the guy that called me a bigot, it kind of reminds me of what he called me. Just saying, I'm a anti-Semite, neo-Nazi bigot.
Well, that makes you a good Canadian.
That's
it, eh? There's, no, it's, I really don't want to run in this stupid, election, but, I have to tell the people what the hell's going on. And, see if we can't wake them up, because most of them are just dumber than a box of rocks. And but they've been suckered their whole lives into believing the lies. And if we could get back to of growing real food, and Our nation would
stop
be a whole lot healthier.
Stop the spraying from the skies, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
You know,
stop the windmills.
Yeah. Like, I outed all that shit in the 70s.
Yeah.
In Calgary. And
I've seen some of your old videos on that. You were spot on back then.
Well, it's
not
been a long
seven.
Time,
yeah,
you know,
no.
And,
you're older.
And I look at my uncle, who's 94 now, and, he's as strong as you're ever going to see a man. They grow their own food. He's 94 and he's still planting a garden and, still out in the bush, of which he's owned since he was in his 20s. But he doesn't put up with any of their nonsense, and never has. And most of my uncles never bowed down to the so-called authority. And they were always strong people. And my uncle had that. He had that stroke when he was 85, and he just told the doctor to sign him out of the hospital, and the doctor said, well, you had a stroke. Yeah, I had a stroke, but now I got to go get some exercise.
Ron, okay. And,
you know, but I mean, it's just, it's all about attitude, and the attitude of our people has been weakened so badly, they're just like... Well, little sheepies. And I don't like to use that word, but they've made our people so freaking weak, and they've made them very weak through the food system. You know, our men and women used to be very strong, but they were getting all the nourishment, and the food was clean. And now the food's really dirty, and most of the people are suffering from this disease or that disease or whatever else is going into the food, and making them dependent upon the pharmaceutical companies and the doctors.
Well, if I can say something that helps, I can't guarantee 100%, but I installed a reverse osmosis system so that at least I can drink clean water.
And yeah, I got to look into that.
Yeah, I mean, I said, you know, there, you know, people are saying, well, that takes out the minerals. Like, well, you get minerals in your food, you know, don't you?
Well,
but I don't know. I'm not. I'm just saying it's the cleanest thing I can find at this time that I am using.
Yeah, I got to look into that because. That book, and I wish everybody would go read it. It's like $8.95 online. It's called The Slow Poisoning of America, and there's a whole pile of stuff in there about Canada, about the deception of our food system and the fluoride system. And it's an amazing book. And what they have on the front of the book is a tombstone in a graveyard with the American and the Canadian flag draped over the tombstone.
And that's you.
Yeah. And the one guy, or the guy that him and his wife wrote the book, but his wife was telling him that their daughter had gotten poisoned by fluoride, and the father had been indoctrinated through school and everywhere else and the TVs and whatever, that fluoride was good and it was a dental thing. And her daughter got fluorosis, and she pounded her husband with information, and finally her husband said, my wife just unindoctrinated me. Now I understand. And this is the problem. People have been indoctrinated, and they don't understand. And they went to work, and they wrote the book. And there's so many poisons in our food, it's absolutely ridiculous. They went through all of this stuff, and they have all kinds of notes as to this, the people who have shown the poisons in our foods. And why would we put up with that? Why would we allow our governments to poison our food? I mean, give me a freaking break.
When they're the ones that give out the food guide.
Yeah.
So, you know, this stuff could be dangerous to your health. So maybe you should be eating, like, something natural. No, they don't mention that in the food guide.
Well, that's why my uncle at 94 is still growing their own food. And my wife, or his wife, puts it down. They can the food and do whatever they do with the food that used to be done with it. And at 94, he's still sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
And then that's a good thing. But it's all about attitude. It's all about attitude. People are so weak. They're always running to the doctor, running to mental health people, running to this, running to that. Help me, help me, help me. which is just ridiculous. My great-grandmother lived in a farmhouse out in the bush, and she was blind. She was in a wheelchair, but she was still living at home, and she was knitting away, and I was probably 10 at the time, and I says, like, how can you knit when you can't see? I've always knitted. I know what I'm doing. But it's all about attitude. It's the same thing as when I went to Montreal and I stopped at my uncle's farm, and he was blind, and we had lunch, and then he told his wife, he said, I'm going to go out to the bush and clean up some brush. And she said, but you're blind. He said, I've been here forever. I know where everything is. Well, how are you getting there? I'm going to take the tractor. And she says, but your brother, who's only 87.
You got a blind guy driving a tractor. Oh, boy.
But he says, my aunt says, but your brother hooked onto a tree with the tractor and pulled the tractor over on himself and killed himself. And my uncle said, well, he made a mistake. Okay? And he was 90 at the time. And he lived to be 98. But it's all about attitude. It's about being strong and having the right attitude, not being weak and always running to these people who are feeding you drugs all the time to make you even weaker and make you dependent upon them. My uncles were they were amazing people, and my grandfather's in that. They were just amazingly strong attitude, and they didn't bow down to these idiots that everybody seems to bow down to now. They just tell them shove off. But you know, when my uncle was in the hospital with the stroke. And, you know, the doctor said, well, you know, we're doing rehab for you. He says, yeah, for like a half an hour or something. And then I lay in bed all day. That's not going to work. And the doctor said, well, if I sign you out, you might die. And he says, no, I got to go get some exercise. And if I do die, then your problem. It's my problem. But it's all about the attitude, because most of the people would just stay in the freaking hospital for ever and lay in bed and get weaker and weaker and weaker. And so that was 85. Now he's 94, and he's still out planting the garden and still out hauling wood down the basement for the furnace.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't like to repeat, but My uncle had two choices. Either an old folks home or he'd come stay with me because his own children wouldn't take him in. And he decided to come with me.
Good man.
And he was totally blind. Like he couldn't, all he saw was black. And I said, come on, buddy, you're coming with me. Yeah, buddy, but my uncle. And really nice guy he was. But he said, okay, Chris. He says, I'm in. Let's go. And he said, okay, now all you got to do is walk me around the house and explain to me what is my surroundings. Right. And I'll take it from there. And he did.
I know, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. But it's about the attitude.
Then he would take us to hockey games. He loved the Kingston the Belleville Bulls. Now we're talking OHL in Canada. I'm sorry. I apologize for listeners that don't understand this, but the Ontario Hockey League, he was a big fan of the Belleville Bulls. So he would say, okay, you know what? Let's go to a hockey game. I'm paying for it. All right. And I'd bring him in, and everybody's looking at him like, what are you doing here? You can't see a thing. Oh, but I can hear.
Aha, exactly. It's amazing because, you know, the people have become so dependent on the so-called government, which isn't. And I told you this before, but my in-laws, my wife's mother and father, some of the family wanted to put them in a home. And I said, you don't do that to your family. It's like throwing them in a jail.
That's it.
And so we bought this property with two houses on it, and my mother-in-law went back to art because she was a phenomenal artist when she was young. Went back to art school. My father was working out here in the yard all the time, and they were both happier than hell because they were free. And And just like what you said about your uncle who was blind, and which is the same thing my uncle told my aunt, you know, like he told you that, you know, walk me around the house so that I know where I'm going. And I'm sure he got along just fine after that.
He did it on his own.
Yeah.
I didn't even need to be there.
And the same thing with my uncle who was blind is I'm going to take the track and go out to the bush and clean up some brush. And he didn't get hurt. He lived to be 98.
That's a little different. Oh, I don't know about driving vehicles. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, but he was
just saying.
In the 70s, we got pulled over in Michigan. And I was 17 at the time, and my other friends were 16. So they were sent home, and I was stuck in jail for a week. And I wasn't driving the car. But they held me for a week, and when we got down to the border at Sarnia, my cousin and my uncle picked me up, and that was way back in the early 70s, and he couldn't really see much then even. And my cousin was saying, you know, okay, dad, take your foot off the gas and put the brake on slowly. Okay. And then, she'd tell him that the light's green so we can go now. And I go, what the hell's going on? Well, dad can't see, but he's driving the car. Well, I know, but I'm telling him because I got pulled over when we were coming down here from Quebec. I got pulled over by the cops, and they told me that my license was suspended or something. So I had to let dad drive. And we're driving around Sarnia, and he can't see. And he's driving, and my cousin is just telling him how to, you know, where to go and how to do it. And I wasn't so surprised when he was 90 that he said he was going to go out to the bush and clean up the brush because he was still blind. But it's really all attitude. So many people are so sucked in to, you know, we're going to put you in the home. You got to go here. You got to do this. You got to do that. And that takes away the people's attitude. And they become... weak.
No, I agree with everything you're saying, other than the fact of your blind, what did you say, your blind uncle or grandfather?
Yeah.
No, Ron, I gotta call that one, okay? You wouldn't let somebody blind drive your car down the road, okay?
Well, I wouldn't, but it was amazing because...
You can't do that.
No, my cousin was talking, and I was amazed. We didn't come anywhere near an accident. It was absolutely amazing to watch. I mean, she just guided him. He listened, and she just told him where to go, what to do, how to operate. And it was smooth as all get out. I was absolutely amazed by it. But well, again, it's about attitude.
You'd better produce a video on that one, because I'd like to see it if I wasn't blind. Because
it was amazing.
You're going to have a hard time convincing people of this, even including me.
Well, no. What I'm saying is my cousin wasn't, she got pulled over, and I said, well, why aren't you still driving? I mean, you should be driving because your dad's blind. And she said, well, I don't want to get in trouble. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
So you let a blind
because when
man
I first noticed
car,
that he was, when I first noticed he was blind, I'm thinking, what the hell's going on here? And we went through Sarnia so smoothly, it was absolutely amazing. And then when I went to, that was in the 70s, and then when I was going to Montreal and I stopped at the farm, he was 90 then. And was going out on the tractor, lived to be 98. But, you know, well, I was totally amazed when he said, you know, when my aunt said, you know, your brother was only 87, and he hooked onto a tree and pulled the tractor over on himself. And my uncle just said, well, he screwed up, right?
And, well, I agree with that, I still don't agree with your blind driver. I'm sorry, Ron. I can't go there.
Well, you should have been in the car. It was absolutely amazing. When I first got in the car and she started telling me what to do, I was kind of nervous. And, because they got pulled over around Belleville or somewhere coming from Quebec. And he drove all the way down to Sarnia, and
Come on, Ron.
What to do?
Are you trying to fool people? Come on.
No,
you know
I'm not.
What?
No,
I
I'm not.
I agree with 90% of what you say, but when you tell me a blind man's driving a car and somebody's just telling him to turn left,
he was driving the car. But he was listening to what he was told.
That's the difference.
Well, that's the difference.
Come on, Ron. Ron, come on.
Well, I wish you would have been in the car because it was so smooth. It was ridiculous. Absolutely perfect.
You actually believe what you just told your listeners.
Well, it was absolutely
true. A blind man driving a car, and all I got to tell him is, turn a little left, turn a little right.
That's what my cousin was saying, and
he was
so smooth, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We didn't cross lines. We didn't run stop signs. We didn't run lights. It was so smooth. It was amazing.
All right.
But
well,
it's all about attitude. When people I can't do this, I can't do that, I have to become dependent on this outfit or that outfit.
Well, okay, your overall point is good. But I call bull crap on what you're trying to explain to me. But
it's not bull crap.
I don't want to dwell on it.
Well, no, we don't have to dwell on it, but it actually happened.
Sure. Got the video?
No, when she first started talking to him, and that made me very nervous. I'm thinking, what's going on? She said, well, he's blind. Well,
yeah,
what the hell's he doing driving the car?
Hello?
You know? But he did a very nice job.
Why would you go there? Why would you go there? That is untrue. That is not truth.
It is 100% true.
In your mind.
Not in my mind. in the car. He drove, she spoke, and I sat in the back seat going, what the hell's going on here? And
I had my eyes wide open in a major rainstorm, which made me blind, and I was terrified as, well, I can't say the word, but I was terrified because I couldn't see a thing, and I was just kind of guessing where I was going, and luckily, I guessed correctly.
Well, I mean, so, we did the same thing in the snowstorm.
Come on, man. Come on, Ron. You can't. You don't go there. Don't tell me
I'm blind. I don't want to see blind people out driving. But he did a very nice job. And but he couldn't have done it if his daughter had not been guiding him.
Oh, boy.
And no, but I know what you're saying. I mean, we were coming up from south of here in the winter, and all I could see was the tops of the hydro poles. I couldn't see the road. It was blowing so hard along the lake, it was absolutely nuts. And all I could see was the top of the hydro poles. And then, because we couldn't see the road, and then all of a sudden, turned out we were on the wrong side of the road, and all of a sudden, and it had to been because of the transport, everything cleared for a couple of seconds, and we had a transport truck coming straight at us, and managed to get moved over and let him go by. So, you know, and my uncle had just an amazing attitude.
And well, anyway, so okay, well, you know what?
My grandparents were amazing people. None of our people were ever put in homes. The family always looked after them. And, because they didn't want the state controlling the family.
Family. I want to get off of the topic, but I had to bring it up. And we went long on it.
Yeah, yeah.
It was going to get boring. But nobody drives blind, okay? I'll tell you that right now.
Well,
I know that.
He was blind, and he was driving, and that was way back in the early 70s.
All right.
And I found it absolutely amazing.
I call bullcrap on that one.
Well, it's
but
not
anyways.
Bullcrap. It's the absolute truth. My cousin was explaining or just telling her father, and she was speaking very calmly, and he was listening. And when she told him to put his foot on the gas, he put his foot on the gas. When she told him to take your foot off the gas, or a little bit right, a little bit left, he listened to exactly what she said, and he did exactly what she said. And it was amazing, absolutely
right.
Amazing, because
well,
he wasn't frightened.
That's good, good. It's all good. But
you know, but
I want to move on if
yeah,
you could.
I want to know when you're going to get your pigs.
Ah, yeah. I just heard from my neighbor that the house in behind mine just sold.
Who's moving in?
Muslims. So now I got to listen to, I don't know, what do they do? 8 times a day they do, Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, something like that.
So I got a nice stereo, did I tell you? It's in my basement right now, but I'm gonna clean it up, bring it back out. But I spent a lot of money on this thing. Really powerful. And I'm thinking about when they do their Ollie Ollie Akbar and they give their, cause they gotta sing Ollie Ollie Akbar, whatever they do, you know. I'm thinking about cranking up some AC/DC Back in Black. To counter it.
That might be amazing.
It'd be, well, I'd probably be the one, you see, the way the system works, they'll probably end up arresting me.
Yeah.
Instead of them.
Yeah, we're so being harassed by AC/DC.
Well, I can pick another one. I was thinking on the fly, just crank something up, you know, to say, yeah, I got a better stereo than you.
Yeah, have a little fun with it.
But the point being is they're all around me now. They're taking over. Every time a house sells around here, it's I'm sorry for being racist, but it's either blacks, Muslims. Well, that's what it is.
When I was in Kingston there with you, I was absolutely astounded how many Muslims there were.
Yeah.
It blew me away, and it truly blew me away because, I'm in a little town and we have a Muslim thing here, but, there's not many of them, very few. But, when I was in Kingston, that just blew me away. I was amazed. I was actually looking for white people because I couldn't find many of them.
Yeah.
It was weird. So,
well, I used to have a basketball net for my children, about 10 years ago, 12, maybe 12. And I ended up taking it down because my boys grew up and, you know, they went on their way. But now I take my dog for a walk around the neighborhood. And there's a lot of basketball nets up, and they're all black people and Asians playing basketball. And I go, that's not the way this neighborhood used to be. I'm a racist, I know.
Well, I'm not a racist. I can get along with anybody. But there's just two kinds of people. There's good people and there's bad people. And, you know, like this thing with Mulroney and this Century Initiative, the plan is to wipe the white man off the planet.
Exactly.
They want to raise the population of Canada to 100 million people. And, our people are getting older and older and older. And back in the 80s, I remember them on the radio and stuff saying that, you know, you don't really want children because it'll cost you $185,000 to raise a child. And, you're supposed to enjoy your life. So instead of having a child, you can go buy a nice cottage or a nice boat or go for trips all over the place. And then we got the LGBTQ, and it's all about, decimating our population. And, we can't allow this to happen, you know? But this is the game plan. And we built everything here You know, when I talk to the native people, and they get it, they understand that their council is not working for them. They're understanding that their council is part of the legal club. They understand what was done to them. Their people were decimated. Now they're turned on us, and they're going to decimate us.
Jeez.
And we can't allow this to happen. The native people I'm talking to today really seem to understand why it went on.
That's. Okay, Mr. Pope, show us the money. Cha-ching. Come on. I call bullshit. You know, you go on about the natives. Bullshit. I sent you factual evidence that they didn't own this land when we started showing up. They owned 3% of it. And they had an agreement amongst each other while they were killing each other that once you left that part of the land, because they were like nomads, after a year, somebody else could reclaim it. So we came in and reclaimed it. So I call bullshit on what you're talking about, the natives. Because now they want us to give them, you know, the blacks in America want reparations for the Jewish ships that brought them over. And now we got to pay the natives here for what? You know,
but you're listening to the news and that. When I talk to the native people,
you're listening to the news.
When I talk to the native people, they understand that this reconciliation thing is a complete total fraud. They understand that they want the globalists are trying to make them believe that the globalists are the good people. When the native people I talk to understand that this reconciliation thing is a total fraud and that they want them off the land and so that they, the globalists, can take over all of the resources.
Sorry, what did you say? Who do they want off the land?
They want us off the land. They want the natives off the land so that they have total and complete control of all the resources. And the native people that I talk to, they understand this reconciliation thing is a total fraud. It's just a sucker game again, which is what they always do. They offer you benefits, but that's not what they're offering you. They're offering you things which moves their agendas forward. No, the native people I talk to are absolutely amazing. They are angry as hell.
The native people you're talking about want reparations, and they want more land, and the government is giving it to them.
No, the government is going to take it away from them.
No.
We'll give you this. And down the road, we're going to take this. Okay? The native people, I've talked to old native people. I've talked to young students. And I haven't talked to any of them yet that doesn't get it. They understand the game. They understand that their council is just as evil as our councils. And that they're all pushing the globalist agendas. It's all part and parcel of the legal club. which is total fantasy.
Did you not see the there was the one where they got a cartoonist got fired for showing a cartoon. You remember the old days where you'd read the paper and you'd look at the cartoons?
Hmm.
This guy did one, and it showed what you call a native going to the Pope, and he had a question mark on the back of his head with a dollar sign in it. And he got fired.
Yeah, well, you know, it's you know, the Anglican Church of England and the Catholic Church of Rome are basically the same damn thing. They're all working together against our people for control. You know, back in the Magna Carta days, our people woke up in England and decided they were going to kill the lawyers and the judges because they understood the fraud. And they killed some of them, and the rest of them ran away. And then they got King John to sign the Magna Carta, and then the lawyers came back and said, this is null and void because you signed it under stress and duress. And the Pope came in and said the same damn thing. So England and Rome have been attached to each other for a very, very long time. We had the British Empire and the Roman Empire. And Rome and England are not good people, and they're all deceivers. And you know, Luther, I mean, I do this really, really fast again. Luther, whose father wanted him to be a lawyer, and that's what woke him up, and he spent 3 years, I think, in law school, and then he quit because he woke up and the other students couldn't figure out why he quit, because he was the top of the class. And then he went and became a monk, and then he went to Rome, and his jaw dropped because of what he learned in law school or legal school. And he called out Rome, he called out the Pope, he called out the Church, the Catholic Church, and he called out the J's and he called out the M's. And he was absolutely correct on everything he called out. And then Germany started the Gutenberg Press, and everything that Luther wrote got disseminated far and wide. And that's what woke up our people to get them to come here to build us a new house. And so the whole thing's been a fraud for a very, very long time. And we've been deceived for a very, very long time. And we've got to wake this up. And like, well, I keep saying, I am so proud of the students, because when I talk to the students, they get it all. They understand what the hell's going on. And they're very concerned because they don't have the power to change things. And they're very concerned that they will not have any future whatsoever. And just like our forefathers came here, they understood their duty, and we have to understand our duty. And this isn't hard to fix. Not hard to fix at all.
All right, all right. Like, okay, I get it. I get it. Everybody gets it.
But I want to come down to your place and pet your pigs.
Well, you suggested to me personally that you were going to mention the Muslims, the Jews, and the pigs. Mm. You got to because you're running out of time. Do you got any last comments on the Jews, the Muslims, and the pigs?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
It'll be fun.
It'll be fun. That's it?
Well, we can put a harness on the pigs and walk them up across the street.
Well, no, but who rules over you?
Who what?
Who rules over you?
Well, they're all deceivers. I mean, Doug
what
Ford
about Bill
years ago
C,
said how many
Bill C-250. Does that
well,
help?
I mean, Doug Ford said years ago before Rob died that he was totally connected to the Jews. And the Jews and the Muslims are connected together.
Yeah.
And so...
what does that have to do with pigs? That was a joke, I think.
Well, I'm still waiting for Doug Ford's belly to explode. can't get any bigger. But anyways...
I'll let you finish.
If
out.
I become blind, I'm not driving down to your place, okay?
No, please don't.
No, I'm not going to. but anyways, I'm glad you come on. I'm going to try and get a hold of Simon. I couldn't get a hold of him last night. I'm going to try and get a hold of him today or tomorrow or today and tomorrow if I can get a hold of him. And see if we can't get him on the show next week, because it would be really nice to have a counselor from Kingston on the show and have a nice chat with him.
It'd be interesting. It really it will.
It would be very good.
This is the guy that's in the belly of the beast of, the founding city of Sir John A.
Oh, sounds like we're out of time. Here's some music. Anyways, Chris, thank you so very much for coming in, and I hope your grandson is healthy, and I hope your son, Christian, is very close by. Anyways, everybody take care. Have a great day. We'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic.